Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Ah, Victory Monday yet again. It feels so good. The Browns at 5-3 through 8 games of the season. That's one more win than they had in 16 opportunities last year. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you for the next 2 hours to break this game down. There's so much to talk about from an offensive standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, from a special team standpoint. Yes, they were special. We also want to hear from you, though. Today's about you and your reactions. 216-578-0850. Tweet the show at Browns underscore daily, at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 57. And it's also time to hand out our game ball. So who gets your game balls? Think about that. You have three to hand out for this game. And I think you can make a case to hand one out on offense, one out on defense, and certainly one out on special teams as well. But Matt, this was another one of those where it wasn't pretty. It wasn't easy. But at the end of the day, the Cleveland Browns once again got contributions in every phase of the game and found a way to beat an opponent that they should beat, get the win, and now they sit at 5-3 at the halfway point of the season.
It does, and it was a great day yesterday. And I think, you know, I said coming in, when I first started, you know, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, I just said this football team is going to be in for a fight each and every week. They're going to have to win those close games, and the ability to be able to close opponents out, you know, even in games that you shouldn't win or games that you're supposed to win, like everybody thought we'd win, you know, very handily in the last three, your ability to close those football games out is a part of the growing process happening in this locker room. And you heard that in some of the post-game comments, Joe Hayden's elation with the fact that he's won five games and to have that happen in the first eight games. He's never won five games in his career, folks. You know, this is your Pro Bowl cornerback who makes millions and millions of dollars, was like a giddy kid winning five games. And as you said, Nathan, only through eight games. And that's what I'm excited about, is that this team is winning. They're winning ugly. But again, they stack those wins up in the right column, as opposed to always being the goat on the other side of not making that one play or making that mistake in the fourth quarter to lose football games just like this.
They've made the big plays now. 2 weeks in a row, Dante Whitner's fumble recovered by Joe Hayden last week to kind of turn the tide and beat the Raiders. And then this week it was Craig Robertson's punt deflection, even though I think it's a blocked punt, but because it went past the line of scrimmage, we can only say punt deflection. But his punt deflection that set up the touchdown pass to Taylor Gabriel just two plays later, it's a team that's finding a way to win. And that speaks to me a lot about why they tried to change the culture, why they brought in a Carlos Dansby, why they brought in a Dante Whitner, guys who know what it takes to win in the NFL. Because as you said, you just pointed out, Joe Hayden is a guy that plays at a very elite level, but he hasn't seen winning. Joe Thomas, elite, hasn't seen winning. You need guys who have actually seen it, and now the confidence is growing. It is brewing. The team 4-1 at home. They still have three more home games to go, and yet they've already are tied for the second most wins at home since returning in 1999. The only year they did better than this was 2007 when they went 7-1. So this is a team that is getting confidence. It's finding ways to win, and even though this game did not go probably as you scripted it in a lot of ways, they found a way to get it done at the end. And I think it's, again, another game that they're just going to build on and have that confidence going into Cincinnati on the short week this Thursday.
That's right. And games never go as you would want in the National Football League. And your ability to improvise on the run and the coach's ability to improvise or to deviate from their game plan and figure out what's working and how you can keep those things working throughout this football game, because it is a chess match. And that's what we have to understand. And right now, we're one move ahead of our opponents. And I do believe we're going to see a football team on a short rest on Thursday night at Cincinnati. That is, again, they're wanting to stay at the top of the division, because I think at this point, after what we saw last night, this division is up for grabs. I truly feel that way. And whoever has the most momentum, which the Cleveland Browns do have after winning the last two at home, they go on a short week. I think that we're not completely plagued by injuries, But the guys that are playing are contributing, have a lot of confidence, which will work extremely well on Thursday night.
And it's huge to have a guy like Taylor Gabriel step up, an undrafted free agent, when Andrew Hawkins gets banged up going against that cover two. We talk about tight windows in the cover two. Well, sometimes you get the ball in there, and then your momentum is stopped very quickly by a defensive back.
Yes,
and that happened
is.
Certainly to Hawk. Hopefully he will be okay, but he's a little bit banged up. And then you get Taylor Gabriel to step up and have the game that he did, improvise on the game-winning touchdown for the 38-yarder to win it. I think it's unbelievable to see every week it's somebody new. Tank Carter, you hear about him when he blocks the punt against Tennessee, and then obviously plays a role in the punt deflection for Craig Robertson. It's Taylor Gabriel 1 week. You know, Barnage makes a huge
Billy
catch.
Wynn finally
Billy
coming
Wynn
back.
Coming back, blocking the field goal early. The kind of, I thought, set the tone. You know, when Tampa Bay got down there, the first time, field goal blocked. The second time, field goal missed. It's like, okay, we dodged some bullets at 6 points when, you know, the final margin of victory was five. These things add up, and the Browns and Billy kind of converting all of his opportunities. It really was just a complete and total team win, and it's one of those that I think is going to resonate and reverberate with this team for a while, because when you look at this five-game stretch, obviously you look back and you say we should have beaten Jacksonville, but 4-1 in five games where you were the favorite in all five, that's not bad in the NFL. That's not easy to do. I don't care who you're playing.
No, it's not. And I think, again, if you listen to the post-game comments on ClevelandBrowns.com or even the Browns app, you hear Brian Hoyer talk about, we don't care. They don't, as long as they're winning football games, they don't care the style that they win, how ugly it is. And even, you know, our own Kevin Jones, the writer here, you know, made a great post, you know, on the website. And it's just, do we get credit for the pretty losses, you know, to the Ravens and Steelers that were almost wins? No, we don't. They're still losses. And the fact that, you know, we have a quarterback who is resilient, who can make the throws when asked upon. I thought the throw to Gabriel, we had seen that pass float in the air in the past when someone is that wide open, which gives a defensive back an ability to recover and maybe make a play on the ball. But he threw a strike to Gabriel in stride for a touchdown. And again, to me, capped off the momentum. And I feel at that point, the Buccaneers, you know, and our defense more so than anything, were ramped up and ready to close out the football game. And as a former defender, I think that more time than not, we like being in that situation instead of, you know, having Brian Hoyer in that offense going out and having to score or having to get a first down, a few first downs to kill the game. The defense's ability to go out there and shut them down on and four down territory throughout the rest of the game, to me, capped off an amazing win.
After giving up a 30-plus yarder on the very first play of that drive yeah. to Mike Evans, you know, I got a little nervous, and then the defense did shut them down ultimately and get the job done. But, you know, it was interesting. There was a time in this game where the dog pound at First Energy Stadium was booing the offense when the offense seemingly could do nothing, and yet they ultimately came through. What the Browns have done so effectively now, 2 weeks in a row, is take that big momentum-changing turnover. Last week it was the fumble. This week I'll call it a turnover, but the deflected punt. Take that favorable field position, score quickly, and really seize the game. And that's what they did. After that punt, two plays later, Taylor Gabriel gets the touchdown, and the Browns win it, which was it was just great to see. And it was another one. It was a grind. And the thing that I take away from this as a big positive is, and you tell me if this is how it's in the locker room as well, is, listen, we didn't execute like we wanted to a lot of times offensively. Defensively, we put ourselves in a couple of bad situations and maybe had some calls that we wanted back. And yet, offensively, it didn't matter ultimately. Defensively, it didn't matter ultimately. But we won again for the second straight week, won a little ugly. So when we actually come out and fire on all cylinders, we should be able to do some things.
You're right. And that's what I think so many people have the optimism, you know, kind of building up and brewing inside them towards the second half. A lot of questions that people might have about this football team will be answered because of the level of the opponents that will play within this next 8-game stretch to close out the football season. But I agree with you, Nathan. And I thought about that on my drive in. I go, you know, we're making big plays. You know, we're sustaining drives. And then you look at, there are some things that you can, that you can evaluate that have to be, kind of ironed out before you can legitimize yourself as a quality football team. Because, again, those mistakes, you know, will get you beat at certain points against certain opponents. And what we have to understand is that, again, if we put our best foot forward and play a full 60-minute football game, which we have yet to do, you know, and that might come on Thursday night. It might come later against the Colts. It might be against the Texans. Games that, you know, are in question where we might not be favored. But because we play a quality 60-minute football game, we can win each and every week.
There's no question about it. And that's what's so great about this team. And they're going to go ahead and have an opportunity to get to 6-3 on the road against Cincinnati this Thursday. And he talked about the closest game to that complete game was Pittsburgh. And I'll tell you, you watch the Steelers play right now, and you're like, man,
we did that against them.
The Browns held him to 3 points, basically. They scored a garbage time touchdown when it was 31-3.
Yes.
And now he's thrown six touchdowns in back-to-back games, Ben Roethlisberger.
I think that was a motivating factor for that entire team.
My goodness. They are certainly playing at a very high level. Now, the ground game didn't get where we wanted it to get. We're going to talk about that defensively. I thought the back end continues to excel. But up front, in the first half anyway, didn't stop the run well. Second half did a much better job. There were some personnel adjustments there. We will get into that. But really today we do want to hear from you, and we want to hear from you at 216-578-0850. Many of you already tweeting the show at Browns_daily, at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 57. But I'll tell you, it's got to be satisfying for Mike Pettine to come in here and in 8 games already win one more than his predecessor did in 16. And I think that's got to give him a lot of confidence, and it's got to give this team a lot of confidence in their head coach.
I definitely agree with that. And I think not that Coach Mike Pettine was listening to a lot of the critics when he was hired, because he wasn't the first choice, he wasn't the second choice, and people can go on the line, you know, about who the Browns were speaking to about this head coaching job. But even still, when we hired him, he was a big question mark, because rookie head football coach, we'd seen, you know, Mangini, Shermer, and Chudzinski, you know, the last three head coaches of the Cleveland Browns, all first-time head coaches, you know, long coaches in the NFL. And I think that the question mark surrounding Mike Pettine, he has solidified that in our minds. You know, I also, too, believe before they even stepped on the football field to compete with another team that the culture was changing. And I know, obviously, you're here all offseason. Sure. You're an integral part of this organization with your kind of ear to the streets, in some cases here, you know, at the in the Dog Bowl and here in Berea. And you could feel it. It's not something that you can see, because people can say a lot of things. I'm going to do this, and we're going to be this type of football team. But you could feel the difference. And when you can feel that, you know, something is changing for the better, and now he has backed up that culture change and his words with a 5-3 football record after 8 games.
And a lot of it is, if you remember, his opening press conference, and we play it all the time, you know, we're going to be the toughest team on the field. And it's not just about physical toughness, it's about mental toughness. And I think the Browns, once again, showed a lot of mental toughness, a lot of resolve in this game. At times, things were not going well. At times, I told you, the crowd was booing the offense of the Cleveland Browns in their own building. And yet, when they needed to make that play to put the game away, they did it. When they needed to get a pass breakup at the end of the game, Joe Hayden got it. When they needed to get that final stop and get the quarterback, make him rush that throw on 4th-and-11, they did just that, and he had to throw that football away. So it's a team that finds a way. And I'll say one thing about this defense. When you get to the Browns about 35, they become a different defense
for the most part.
They all of a sudden just kind of, all right, you're not running on us. We're going to get a sack now, because that's what we do when you get to our 35. And it becomes just a different kind of mindset. And again, Tashaun Gibson, 6th interception, leading the NFL, another one. Dante Whitner gets a little payback from Joe Hayden after he popped out the fumble. Hayden tips it to him. A heady play by Joe Hayden. And fortunately, a bad throw from Mike Glennon. He was able to get there and get that interception. So it's just a team that is – it's a team all of a sudden that – is making the plays when they need to make them. And I think that's the biggest difference between this Browns team and teams of the past. And I think it has to do with that mental toughness.
It definitely does. And you make such a great point, because I think in years past, you know, you didn't feel like you had a bunch of playmakers, or, you know, you never knew when it came to crunch time, who's that guy I'm going to call on to make that play? And there might be a few guys. You might have a few fingers worth of guys that might make that play. And what I love about this football team is now there's a laundry list of guys, because of what they've done thus far through 8 games, that can make that play. Is it a Kruger sack? Is it a Hayden tip ball? Is it a Gilbert pass breakup? You know, is it a screen pick? Is it a, you know, is it a Dante Whitner hit? You know, is it a Jabal Sheard forced fumble? There's so many guys, and again, it's contagious, and that's what you know, why so many, you know, defensive coaches talk about turnover, because when you get one, the second one comes that much easier, and the third one thereafter, and then you start to play with the confidence, like, there is no way we play this football game without being, you know, doing our part and getting our 2 turnovers, which gives 2 extra opportunities to the offense. And again, we saw Brian Hoyer give it away 2 times, but again, at that point, it's a wash. You know, if you don't get turnovers, you know, you're then -2 instead of being even.
And that's what we said going into the game. I said the Browns need to just be even or win the turnover battle, and this is a game that they will find a way to win, and they did just that. When we come back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we're going to get into your reaction. You guys are lighting up the phone lines. Today is about you, 216-578-0850. We're also going to have the roundtable presented to you by Blue Point Grill when Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, joins us at 1:45. And then in the second hour, we're going to play some sound bites after the game. Mike Pettine, Brian Hoyer, Craig Robertson, Joe Hayden. We will talk about we'll hear from all of those players around 2:30, and of course the head coach of the Browns then as well. But today we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. Don't forget your Ohio Business Machine hot topic of the day. Hand out the game balls. You've got three of them. Who get them for you? As the Browns sit at 5-3, folks, it's another victory Monday. The fourth in the last 5 weeks, and it feels good, Cleveland. 'Cause I got nothing to say.